Hi guys, welcome to Dead by Tomorrow Interviews. My name is Daniel Winter and my co-host is Andrew Monroe. As we explore different topics that are worth thinking about today, we want to bring in guests to share their own unique perspective. We hope you enjoy hearing from our guests as much as we enjoy talking to them.
Hello everyone, welcome back after the holidays. We have a friend of ours on, Laura Ness. She is a marketing specialist at the Education Credit Union. And we have a lot of marketing background and everything. So to me, more interestingly, she is also a bodybuilder and NPC bikini competitor, which is really cool. So Laura, welcome onto the show. Thanks for joining Daniel and I. How has your day been? How's the weekend been? And how's January started?
You know, it's a new year. It's been really good. I started prep for my next bikini show for NPC, and then the goal is to have a pretty long prep and then go and place at a regional show. I'm already qualified for nationals, so hoping to qualify again and then go and compete at a national show to try and get my IFBB pro card.
Okay, let me just hop into this real quick because I have two questions related to this. And sorry, Daniel, if you had anything to jump off here. But first, I saw one of your pictures from 2021 whenever you had a competition and they gave you a sword. So my very first and I think most important question, did they actually give you a real sword and did you get to keep it?
Yes, I did two shows. I did a local one for just fun and to support. But the first show I did the Ronnie Coleman and I got the overall win in novice. And so I got a sword, which I wasn't expecting to get a sword. But yes, it's a real sword. Like that thing is sharp, but the handle's kind of coming off. So I don't know how to fix that. I don't have it in my possession right now. I actually gave it to Innovative Nutrition to hang up in their store since they did so much for me. They do so much for me during my preps. And then my other sword, which this one doesn't seem like it's not as sharp as the one I got from Ronnie, but the one from the Amarillo one, it's a little sturdier, but it's not as sharp. Like you can't play Fruit Ninja with it or anything like that.
Oh, we can fix that.
Right. We just make it sharper. But that one's actually at Contagion Athletics and they're going to be hanging that up hopefully soon.
Daniel, we have gone into the wrong competitions. There's people out there winning swords for their stuff. All we get is medals, not even big ones.
Yeah, I hate to break it to you, Andrew. Oh. You're not going to win any bikini costume or contest, not costumes. You're not going to win any bikini contest.
There's Comic-Con. I mean, you could try.
You know what?
I think you bring your own swords to that. I don't think they give you swords, unfortunately. Again, for Andrew, like, I'm sorry, Andrew. I'm squashing all your hope today. Like I said, I haven't had a lot of caffeine. That's what I'm here to do is kill dreams.
Man, you don't have to be so hateful. It's just start of the new year. I was about to go into bodybuilding and win me a sword. I think I'd look great in a bikini, but you know what? Whatever. All right. So sword question aside, the other one that is maybe a slightly more knowledge-based for you, I'm a little confused. So you already qualified for nationals, I assume, from the novice win in 2021. What is with the regionals? Why are you continuing doing shows that are not nationals?
Yeah, so I'm sorry. Let me break it down and explain it. So I did do a regional show last year, which is a national qualifying show. So there's an open category, which open is what gets you qualified to go to nationals. So you have to place in the top five in your class to go to nationals now. It used to be top two, but I guess since COVID, it's top five now. And novice kind of means like it's your first, like not first time, like you're still just kind of getting your feet wet. Like it was my second NPC show. So it made sense for me to do novice. And when you win novice, you can never compete in novice again. So I don't have to enter in that class anymore, but it doesn't qualify you to get to nationals, but your open class does. And I did get second place in my open class. And the reason why I'm not going to go ahead and go straight to a national show is because I want a first place win, at least a first place win in my class. An overall win would be amazing, but it just, I know where I stand if I get first, because when you go to nationals, you're going up against girls that have gotten overall wins and have gotten first in their class, not second. I mean, yes, there are some that are there that have gotten second, third, fourth, or fifth, but it's expensive and money, you know, I just can't throw money away like some people can. And I have to be smart with it. And so going and competing at a regional show, which is cheaper, and placing first or getting the overall win, I have a better chance at receiving my pro card at a national show.
Okay, that makes more sense. So this is it's kind of a mix of financial savvy paired with almost a strategy at getting the end result you want versus just showing up at nationals.
Exactly. And it's also my health too. Like, you don't want to prep for too terribly long. There's some competitors that do, and props to them. My body cannot do it. Everybody's body is so completely different too. And I just, you know, I only want to prep for as long as like 26 weeks. And that's kind of the goal right now, is I'll probably be in prep for 26 weeks. So that's about July when I'll be done competing for the season.
I see. Well, while we're on this bodybuilding conversation, do you have any tips, since it's January, the year started? And I've known you for a little while, so I know you haven't been doing bodybuilding for an incredibly long time in the grand scheme of things. So what are your tips for people who want to do the new year, new me? How'd you get started? All that kind of jazz. Where should they start?
Set stupid, easy goals. I mean, that they got to be so stupid easy. Like a good example I like to give everybody is, say you want to be able to do 20 push-ups. Give yourself the easy goal of that week. Like, okay, I'm going to do one push-up a night. And I'm kind of taking this idea from a podcast I listened to. It's called Trained. It's a Nike podcast. And I learned that from him. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I did. Like, I put an easy goal for myself for going to the gym. I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the gym 2 to 3 times this week. If I go 3 times, awesome. If I go 2 times, I hit my goal. So then it started getting easier. And I was like, okay, let's do 3 to 4 times, and so on and so on. And then eventually with diet, I was like, oh, well, you know, I kind of want to challenge myself a little more. Maybe I'll eat good this many days out of the week and I'll go get this like Whataburger on this day, you know, just the one time or the 2 times, depending on where I was with my goals. So just stupid, easy goals. Like right now I have a goal to start reading more. And I mean, I started what is, I'm calling it as a lazy book club with one of my friends. And by lazy, I mean, we read like two chapters a week. And if we get to meet that week, great. We'll meet up the next week and we can even do it through Zoom, because it's getting us to read, but it's not an excessive amount of reading. It's just 2 chapters. So that's like, what, 10 minutes a night, if that? Like, so just stupid, easy goals is what I recommend everybody getting into the new year. Don't go too hard to where you burn out so fast and you quit and you feel like a failure and you're like, you know, I'll try again next year. Even though if you mess up, you can literally try again the second after you're done messing up. So that's my advice.
That Nike podcast has some wisdom there. That is a great way, not just to look at working out, but any habit you want to build, which I guess applies to any New Year's stuff you want to do, or just in general. I didn't listen to the Nike podcast, but there's a book I read that's what they talked about, was if you're trying to get back in the gym, or, you know, reading is a great example where you want to read more often. Instead of saying like, hey, I'm going to go at this, you know, 100 miles an hour. I saw Andrew read, you know, 10 books last month, which totally did not happen, but you don't want to go for that high achievement. I'm going to do a 500 pound deadlift after having not been in the gym for 2 years. What you do is you instead go, hey, you did that?
No, I'm saying don't do that. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that'd be rough. You will hurt something. And that's the thing, you know, gym specifically, you're looking for injuries. We have a good friend named Jake, and some people just have that talent to pull the trigger really hard, really fast. But he decided he was going to go from not running at all for years. And he was like, I'm going to go run 10 miles. And he did. He went and ran 10 miles, completely jacked up his knee for like 6 months. And then he sat out for 6 months, didn't do anything again. Came back around after he finally healed up. And he's like, okay, that was dumb. Instead, I'm going to go really hard on this thing. I think he was going to do like bear crawls or something. He did this insane workout and he screwed up his shoulder for like a year. Because again, he went like from zero to like elite athlete level workouts and he had the grit to be able to finish them. God bless his body. And his body did not have the endurance or the, you know, the training to endure those workouts. So anyways, that thing, that's what they said was, if you want to build a gym habit, you want to build that, you know, reading habit, you don't have to do anything. You just go to the gym, walk into the gym and make that the goal. You show up and say, hey, I walked into the gym that I have the membership. I came in and I didn't do anything, but you showed up and then you leave and you just keep doing that. And then sooner or later, you start turning the little hurdles into habits until now it is, hey, I'm here. I can work out. You're not struggling to just show up at the gym. That part's been overcome. You're not struggling to read because you're getting your book out every night before bed. You're having a book next to your bed that you pick up every night. You know, there's just all these little things. You build those tiny, tiny habits and it really grows into something more meaningful over the long term instead of brute forcing your way into something and burning yourself out or getting injured.
Exactly. Like the popular thing to do right now, it seems, is 75 hard, which I'm not a big promoter of any extreme anything, which bodybuilding is very, very extreme, might I add. I don't promote it. Like, I always tell people like what it's like, the good, the bad, and the very ugly of it before they decide to invest their time and money into it. But with like 75 hard, like I think it's great for you mentally because it does push you. And unless if you're going to the gym like consistently and dieting consistently, I don't recommend people doing it to start their new year off. Like it's too hard. It's too much. And it's just going to make you feel terrible if you don't complete it. So you're a new beginner. Yeah. And nothing against 75 hard. I get it. It's very extreme. You don't get any rest days. You don't get any cheat meals. Like at least with bodybuilding, you get rest days and cheat meals. But still unhealthy. But
what is 75 hard? Just out of curiosity.
Oh yeah.
I'm not familiar with it.
So 75 hard, you have 75 days where you get up, and correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, I've only seen people do it. And I've talked to a few people about it, but you have to read, I think, a chapter a day. You have to do two exercises and one is outside. So it could be a blizzard and you still got to go outside and do your exercise. You get no cheat meals and you get no rest days. So you are literally going hard for 75 days and it's mentally tough, which is why I say it's good for you mentally. It really pushes you mentally, but physically it's draining.
Gotcha. No, that's really interesting. And to tie in with what both of y'all have been talking about, I feel like a challenge like that may make sense to a person who already has a lifestyle and habits where they're in pretty good shape. They already have some kind of good routines and maybe you just need a little bit of spice in your life or you need a little bit of a goal to kind of help you stick with some of those routines. And so for somebody like that, maybe a 75 hard challenge sort of makes sense to do as this achievement. But I feel like a lot of times we see these types of challenges and we see it as a way to, oh, okay, like that's going to be the thing that's going to help me to finally get in shape or help me to finally do XYZ. And it's like, no, in reality, that's probably for somebody who already is in shape, because once they finish that 75 hard challenge, they're going to go back to something where they're staying in shape and they're eating what they're supposed to. And if you're somebody who, like Jake, bless his heart, where you're coming off the couch and you're like, I'm ready, I'm doing the 75 hard, and maybe you get through it and you do it, the problem is then you go back to the couch afterwards and it doesn't really help you. Like 75 days out of the year, it's not a lot in reality.
It isn't. And it's kind of funny that you say that, because it's the same thing for bodybuilding. Like after I did my first show back in 2019, I didn't do well. And I did one of the biggest shows in Texas, which is Europa. I placed like 11th. Like, it was bad. And after it was over, like, my prep was so hard. It wasn't really done correctly either. I was overtrained and underfed. And I mean, when I was done, like, that week after, I was like, I'm done. I quit. Like, I never want to do this again. It was awful. And I can't tell you the eating disorder I developed and the body image issues I had afterwards. So that's also, you know, goes back to 75 hard. Like, you're working out every day. You're eating better. You're reading. Like, it does help you build up those habits, hopefully. But if you go from one extreme to the other extreme, you're most likely going to go back to sitting on the couch. So you want to slowly build up those habits so you can go and do those big goals like that. Just, it's, I think mentally it's healthier and physically it's healthier. So that's where I see it from my experience.
Well, that's a great perspective, because you followed through on something. I assume something changed between your first attempt, or however you want to call it, your first season. If you were to go back and talk to yourself whenever you were first doing it, what would you have changed?
I think I would have done a lot more research before I got into bodybuilding. Like, I knew what it was. I understood that the diet was really hard and the training was extensive, but no one told me that if you don't reverse out, you're gonna blow up. You just are. If you just start eating so much food after a show, like, you're not only are you going to blow up, but you could do some actual, like, physical damage to your body. You can mess up your metabolism, you can mess up your hormones. I mean, there are people that have ended up in the hospital because they just had no control after a show. I mean, it's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous.
Now, by reverse out, you mean where you basically reverse diet by saying, like, if you're at a 1,000 calorie daily cap, you only slowly increase that cap. You don't just go straight to a 3,000 calorie day and do whatever you want for the next 2 months, right? Or is there something more specific related to reverse dieting?
No, you're right. It is that. And then you're slowly backing out of your cardio. So your cardio is still kind of high, and then you slowly start to cut it off. But again,
well, you have to keep doing the cardio after the competition too?
Yes, you do. I never stopped doing cardio. Like, and that's just, again, that's my body type. My body needs cardio just to kind of burn off that extra bit of calories. I mean, during off season, I did 4 days, 20 minutes steady state. And that's been, my cardio is steady state. Like, he did have me doing some intervals of sprints, but I mostly just do steady state. Like, I'm on the Stairmaster, or I'm walking at an incline on the treadmill, or just as long as my heart rate's up. Like, that's my cardio. It's just so boring. That's why I hate it.
Yeah, Andrew's definitely out of the bodybuilding now.
Yeah, I was about to say, I take it back. The sword is not worth this bikini thing. I'm good.
Darn, they have some shiny bikinis.
All right, you know, maybe I'll just get one anyways, and we can just skip the show, and I'll just do a special fans only show just for our audience, and that would be the end of the podcast, and possibly Andrew's social life, but it might be worth it.
Dude,
I'll let you spin that one off. I don't know if I want to be associated.
I was going to get you a matching one.
Yeah, those bikinis, they range from, I got mine pretty cheap. It was $130, but they range from about $500 to $1,000 sometimes.
What? That is mind-blowing.
Bodybuilding is so expensive. Like, if you want to do it right, it is expensive. Like, you've got your supplements, you've got your food, you've got travel, you've got stay, you've got, for women, for bikini competitors, you have your bikini, you have your shoes, you have your nails, your tan, hair, your makeup. I mean, I probably dropped $1,000 in 1 week for my show for the Rani. It's like a cathedral. Plus your membership fee, plus your entry fee is like, it adds up.
That's crazy to me. But
yeah,
I mean, if it's a passion, if it's something you love, I'm sure there are hobbies that you can spend far more on, like golf.
Like golf, exactly. And then like with this, if you do go pro, you get sponsors, so you don't have to pay for a suit, or you don't have to pay for your supplements, or they just pay you to post on social media. And then when you win shows, you actually win money. Like Jennifer Dory, she won Olympia this year for bikini. She won like $50,000 for one show. You know, no big deal.
It's pretty nice. Is that the goal? Is to reach a point where, yeah, even if it's not a career, it's self-sustaining and that, you know, the hobby kind of pays for itself.
Like not doing bodybuilding anymore?
Right. So to a point where you're not having to pay out of pocket for all of those things. You do have a sponsor or you're winning some competitions. Is that somewhere where you want to be, or is it more you just love bodybuilding? You love the shows, and whether you have to pay or not, you're happy to do it.
So I love it. I really, really do. I'm trying not to focus on getting those sponsors. I mean, it would be nice to have those sponsors, don't get me wrong. But I think I love bodybuilding, and I know it's something I'm not going to do for the rest of my life because it's just not healthy. And my body, like, I want to live for a while, you know? But yeah, that would be awesome to have that goal, to have sponsors pay for me to go and compete or pay for like my supplements and stuff like that. That would be super nice. I don't know if that's the end all goal. I think it's just winning. I like that feeling of winning. Being handed a sword is really nice. So I think I want to say it's just bodybuilding. I really enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot. I like it. How it pushes me every single day from the second I wake up to the second I go to sleep.
That's a good answer. And I get it. The supplements are expensive. I would love it if someone would pay for my protein powder. Scary how much I spend on that every year to not really have any muscles to show for it. But
oh my goodness.
That stuff's expensive.
It gets pretty pricey.
It does. Like, I actually just got an order in today, and I think it was like $60 of protein for two tubs. That was already 50% off. It's like 2 months of protein. It's ridiculous. Oh, well.
The things we
so,
do.
Something about this. Yeah, for temporary pleasure, I guess. Or pain, really. To
pain.
Make up for the pain.
100% pain.
So I've got a thought that was jumping around my head. And this is, again, you have the marketing background and the sword thing with the competition reminding me of it. I wanted to know how this all blends together with your day life, day job, your career as a marketing person. And I swear there's a connection there. There's a company called Mischief, or a performance group. I don't know what they're really labeled as. I need to keep up and do some research. But they were running a promo where you could mail them your guns and they would turn it into a sword and send you the sword back. Like they'd melt your guns down and send you a sword back. So incredibly good marketing. So that's kind of where I was going with that. But with that said, is there like a blend besides, you know, possibly getting a gun made sword from your competition that goes in with your marketing background?
Oh goodness. My marketing background. So I've been doing marketing for about, I guess, 8 years now, because that's when I was starting to do all of it. I was in school. There's not much of a connection between the two. I just, after college, I decided to start going to the gym and start lifting. And I think one day I would love to do marketing for, you know, some fitness company, whether that be a clothing brand, supplement brand, you know, any kind of brand that's related to fitness. I think that would be awesome. But I'm hoping the two don't clash too much, because I feel like you can get burnt in today's world. I feel like you can get burnt out on work, just with the constant, like, I'll sleep when I'm dead kind of mentality, if that makes sense. I know right now I'm getting a little tired from work, and I think the gym is my escape. So I do try to keep the two pretty separate. I love marketing, but then there's some days where I'm just like, dear Lord, I kind of wish I was just doing bodybuilding full time. But I don't know. I had a huge passion for marketing when I was in college. Like, I wanted to go off and work for this big ad agency in Chicago, called Leo Burnett. Would have loved to work there, moved to Chicago and done all that, but life kind of threw me a curveball, and I ended up actually moving back to the Panhandle and, you know, found a small agency, worked there for a hot minute, and then now I'm at the credit union doing marketing, and I like it, but I don't know. Just at the end of the day, I think it's just a job. It helps pay for my bills.
I get that. Well, you don't have to combine everything in your life into one singular facet. Mm-hmm. So it's probably healthy if you don't.
Yeah. And
so it doesn't ever come up, though, like when you're trying to build your, so to say, reputation as a competitor, you don't have to plug into your marketing skills and work your Instagram in a certain way or anything, or any secret tips for aspiring fitness influencers?
I try to be as genuine on my social media as much as I can. I don't talk about like work related stuff at all there. So that's probably the only thing I don't mention. But I mean, marketing related stuff to like my social media, which my Instagram's only bodybuilding stuff, or fitness related stuff. I do try to be just as genuine. And that's what I tell anyone that wants to really just up their followers, just be genuine. You know, there is an algorithm, there is a time to, and I could put all these things into it, but I don't. Sorry, I just got a text from my boss. So,
oh, that's just rude. It's a Sunday. They should be bothering you.
Yeah, but it kind of caught me off guard. So, if I wanted to do everything correctly, I would have scheduled posts and I would really understand who my followers are. I can't tell you if I have more guys or more girls following me because I don't keep up with it. I try to post my journey on there for others. And I have people that message me and tell me how much I inspire them. And it makes my day, makes me happy, and makes me want to start doing more marketing related things towards my Instagram. But it's kind of for me that my Instagram's for me to keep track of my progress, to see how far I've come. And if I can inspire people at the same time while posting, I definitely want to do that. I don't want somebody to, you know, I feel terrible about going to the gym. Like, I know something recent happened and I went on and found somebody and was like, hey, listen, I can get you a free month at my gym if you want to come there. And I try to make it very genuine. I don't post, like, try to throw my marketing guru stuff into it because that's a lot of work in itself.
Unless no witchcraft on the Instagram.
No scheduled posts, no timing, like when it's optimal to post or when. I kind of do try to post when I know when there's a lot of people on there. So like posting on a Friday night's probably not a good idea, or posting late on a Saturday night when people are not on their phones is not a good idea. So like posting during the day around like 4 to 7 p.m. or when I'm on the Stairmaster usually is a... I'll get some good feedback on it. And I do have my, and this is just the nerd in me, I do have my Instagram set to a business Instagram so I can see the stats on it just because it does intrigue me. That is one thing I love. I do love stats. It's very interesting to understand your consumers.
That's cool. Thank you for the tips.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're keeping it genuine. That's healthy and it's probably easier for your mental well-being to just stay focused on the one thing and not be you know, spending all of your time trying to figure out how to optimize your social media while you're also training and getting ready for the next competition. I bet that'd be a hard thing to juggle.
It is. And there's your full-time bodybuilders that do it, and they have like YouTube channels and TikTok and all of it, all the social media. And I focus strictly on Instagram because that's easier for me to keep track of my journey and talk to anyone on there that is willing to listen.
I get it. Well, at the end of our episodes with the interviews, we usually leave some space for you as the guest to tell us a story from your life and then offer a challenge to the audience if you have anything. So, is there any stories you want to share?
Okay. I got a little story. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm excited to hear it.
All right. So, just a little story. I didn't start my fitness journey till technically, I want to say October 2016. Back in June 2016, I did buy a gym membership at Amarillo Town Club, and I didn't use it until October. So I was paying for a gym membership, and finally I got sick of it. And I was very scared to go to the gym and just like lift weights because I didn't want people staring at me. Or I didn't want people to think I didn't know what I was doing. So I would just like walk on the treadmill and that's it. Not even at an incline. And then I'd leave. But I finally got into it's Les Mills body pump. And so I started taking those classes, and they actually teach you how to lift weights pretty well in there. And it's a lot of reps and low weights. So it taught me like, okay, don't go heavy if there's a lot of reps. So it did teach me a lot. And then I started following all these fitness influencers on Instagram that would post their workouts. And so I would see those workouts, and then I'd go research how to do that workout just to make sure I was doing it correctly. And then I'd go into the gym and just do that. And then they would talk about diet. So I learned about macros. So I started out with macros and learned, okay, this is sustainable. Like I can do this. Like I can still have like 12 Takis a day. Like, but I did everything super, super slow leading up to my bodybuilding life. And I mean, from 2016 till about early 2018, I had just moved back. And I was actually in a slump. I had just moved back from Colorado because my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer at the time. And so they came up, she told me I was back home within a week. No job, no nothing. I was living at home, helping out. And I had the gym. So I just kept going to the gym and learning more about dieting and exercising. And it helped a lot with that part of my life. And then eventually, after my mom had her surgery, which she didn't have surgery for like 6 months, I ended up gaining like some confidence to go and find a job. And one thing led after another, and was pushing myself, not just within my career, but within the gym with my diet, which led me to bodybuilding when I was like, okay, I want to try this. I think I'm ready to do this. My body was in a good spot. Like it wasn't some where I am now, obviously, but slowly led up to everything. And I think if I didn't have the gym today or the support I have for bodybuilding, I don't think I'd be where I am if it wasn't for the gym. Like I truly think the gym saved my life from the sad, miserable depression that I went through when I moved back. And definitely started with Les Mills body pump. So again, just gonna end it on this. I slowly started everything out, which was going and doing a body pump, and then slowly researching and getting into everything. So that was about 6 years ago now, almost 6 years. Mm-hmm. And now I'm doing this.
Hey, there's nothing, slow and steady wins the race, as I've heard said many times. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with body pump. I taught body pump very briefly and I had a blast. So
it is fun. There's
I think it's a cool class.
I think it is too. There's some people that talk like, oh, we're not going to do that. That's for, and it's like, no. Like that's where I got my start. I got my start with classes. Now Zumba, on the other hand, I'm just not coordinated enough to do Zumba. Like I will never be coordinated to do Zumba. So I do yoga and I was doing yoga in college and I still try to do it, but it's nothing like lifting weights. So go to those body pump classes. I get it. Classes.
Yoga's great too.
It's wonderful.
Relaxing. What about a challenge? You got anything for the audience to give a shot?
Yeah, I definitely want to challenge the entire listening group, whomever you are that's listening to, if you are setting a goal, try your best to stick with it, but make sure you start out like super stupid easy. Like say you're going to try and go to sleep early every night. Like say you're going to do it at least once. And then once till that gets easier, you know, twice a week. Just, I challenge everyone to set a goal, to make it stupid easy and to stick with it. Even if you fall off, jump back on it the next day. Just, that's what I'm challenging people. Just make your goals super easy at first. I hope that's a good challenge. Advice. Is that a good challenge? Is that good advice?
It's great.
Is that a good challenge?
Yeah,
challenge
I think it's good people? Stuff. Hey, if it's what got you looking like you looked, then it's got to be worth something, right?
Right. 6 years later, here we are trying to find another challenge, which is reading.
Hey, baby steps again.
Steps.
Well, Laura, thanks so much for hopping on with Daniel and I. We really appreciate you joining us and talking with our people and giving us tips and helping broaden my horizons on my future competitions so I can get swords as prizes instead of stupid medals.
Oh my gosh. Well, anytime. Thank you for having me. I had a good time. You guys were great.
That's awesome. Well, for everybody listening, go check out Laura's Instagram, follow her stuff, and follow her fitness journey. And we look forward to connecting with y'all soon.